We just sang a psalm about the greatness of God's word, how we're to meditate upon it day and night, and how if we do so, we'll become more like Christ and we'll become one who bears fruit in season. We continue on that theme of God's word this morning as we turn to Psalm 119, Psalm 119 verses 33 through 40, and then Acts chapter 17, 10 through 15, as we see these eager Bereans who are faithful students of God's word. And we say the Lord rewards them with the fruit of faith as they seek the scriptures. We begin today in Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. But before we read from God's word, let's pause and ask his blessing upon the reading and the preaching of his word. Let us pray. Our Father, we love you, and it's our delight to sit at your feet and learn from you today. We pray that as we hear your word this morning, that we would delight in it as the psalmist does here. And as these Bereans, as they studied the scriptures, oh Lord, would we know more of your word? Because when we do, we know more about you. We learn to love you, we learn to follow you, and we're changed bit by bit, piece by piece, into the image of our Lord Jesus. Would your Holy Spirit work in our midst today? And would he bring about faith, hope, and love? These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. Hear now the word of the Lord. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things, and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Thus ends the hearing and reading of God's holy word from the Old Testament. And if you would turn with me to the New, Acts chapter 17, we continue our study on the book of Acts. We pick it up in verse 10. Paul and Silas have established by God's grace and power of the Holy Spirit at the beginnings of the church in Thessalonica. Once again, they have to leave at night as folks are stirring up trouble. And they travel about 50 miles southwest of the town of Berea, where they will once again proclaim the good news and will see the Holy Spirit bring forth fruit. Hear now the word of the Lord. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea, also they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. Thus ends the hearing and the reading of God's holy word. May he be gracious to us and add his richest blessings upon it. Amen. I'm not a mechanical guy. Those of you all have known me for 23 years probably know that painfully well. But what is one of my best friends today, other than some of you who have helped me out of many a jam, is YouTube. YouTube can help you do just about any mechanical job, like disassembling the plumbing in my bathroom sink to remove a clog, to change out the bulbs in my headlights on my car. It's nice to be able to type in Honda CRV 2005 and a video pops up to tell you how to do just about everything if you have the courage to try. It's helped me fix a problem with our washing machine and a myriad of issues with iPads and computers. I once had an iPad that I thought was totally dead, the circle of death, the whole thing, and nothing would come up. And I read these instructions and I followed them exactly and bam, it was like new. So it's amazing what you can do with YouTube. Obviously, you have to be careful. Not everyone's example is a worthy one to follow. But it's nice to be able to see a living, breathing person fixing the problem and walking you through step by step. Well, that's one of the things I love about the Bible. We have flesh and blood examples in Scripture showing us how to live out the Christian life. Now, true, some of those examples are negative. We learn what not to do from some of the Bible characters, don't we? Because that's the wonderful thing about God's Word. The Lord does not sanitize the main characters. He does not whitewash them. He shows them to us warts and all. Think of what we learn from even men like Noah, drunkenness, Abraham, polygamy, Jacob, deceit, Moses, murder, David, put them all together into one person. How about Peter, denying his Lord three times? But we also see positive examples of faith and of faithfulness of men and women, a host of them who desire to serve and worship the Lord. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Well, we have a positive example for us today to follow in these folks, the Bereans, these eager people who enjoy the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and their example of hearing and studying Scripture encourages us today to be eager receivers of the Word, to be eager examiners of the Word, and most of all, to be eager believers of God's holy Word. Because when we hear God's Word read and preached, when we're studying it on our own, our Lord Jesus Christ still speaks to us today. So let's receive it, let's examine it, let's believe it with eagerness. Well, we begin with eager receivers of the Word. If you look at verse 10, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And we see a pattern continue. These faithful men being run out on a rail in the dark. They had to leave Thessalonica at night after establishing a healthy church. Well, the Jews incite another riot, and so Paul and Silas travel on along with Timothy. But it's clear this second missionary journey is different than the first. That one was much more centered in Galatia, and Paul was pretty stable in it. This time, he's really imitating the example of his Savior. You remember what Jesus says about himself? Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. That's the posture Paul is forced to adopt, as he's almost living a fugitive life. Yet he's not deterred one iota from what he's supposed to do. He continues to preach the gospel, to bring forth Christ and him crucified. Where do we see him doing it? In the synagogue, he always goes to the Jew first and meets with some extraordinary folks. They're eager receivers, we read in verse 11. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. That's a good thing to be called, isn't it? Don't you want someone to call you noble? It sort of means you're of high birth or maybe you have really good manners. Well, Luke explains why they're called noble here. It's because they received the word with all eagerness. Unlike the Thessalonian Jews, who for the most part rejected the word of God, they were like the swine Jesus speaks about. The pearls were cast before them, where they turn on them and trample not only the word of God, but also those who would deliver it. Not these Bereans. They're very opposite. They receive the word with eagerness. That means with a willing heart and an open ear and an open mind. These folks have a thirst for learning, even this new learning they were hearing about Jesus. We'll talk about what they did with that thirst in a few moments. But we do well to follow their example, to be eager receivers, eager hearers of God's word when it's preached and taught. How do we do that? Well, let me give you some very practical examples this morning, or suggestions this morning. The first thing is to prepare to receive the word. Well, you may know that our bulletins are on our website. Amy's very faithful to post them. Sometimes with great technical difficulty, she pushes through to make sure they're here. I would encourage you on a Saturday evening or even a Sunday morning, pull up that bulletin and read through with your family or individually the Old Testament and the New Testament passages and pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart and your ears to receive the word with eagerness and with gladness. Y'all know I try to write you a little something on Saturday evening so that you have something to prepare your hearts. Read that as well and come with a prepared heart. Pray the prayer we just read in Psalm 119, that great passage on the Word of God. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. If you read something in those passages you don't quite understand, pray that the Holy Spirit would give you grace to understand it when you come. And to make you soft and sensitive if there's something that really convicts you when you read. Another thing you can do on a Saturday evening, if you've got a family to get ready, try to lay everything out the night before. I know that's really practical, but if you've had children, you know what that's like. You got to find the bows for the hair. You got to iron the shirt to make sure you can find the socks to go with the pants. You got to make sure the clothes still fit. If you have one like we do who's like 14 or 15, you know, one day they might fit, the next day they may not. That's just kind of the way it is when you have young children. Well, another very practical and what should be obvious thing is this. Bring your Bible with you to Sunday school and to church. Bring the same one each week so you can kind of get to know it and know where everything is in it. If you don't have one, we have some extras here. We'd love for you to take one home, or at least use it while you're here. And with today's technology, I know some of you use your phones and iPads. That's great. I'm using one right now. Matter of fact, I couldn't find it when I walked in here. I have a backup paper copy, by the way, always. Never do I rely on the technology because it will let you down. And I couldn't find it. It was sitting on that pew. That's why I walked down there and got it. Did you notice that? You may not have noticed that. You don't care. But you know, anyway, you had to be careful with all this technology. The other night we went to an orchestra concert, and I almost said what I wanted to go to, an orchestra concert in Columbia Tuesday night. Sally was playing in it, and right next door was a rockin' basketball game, and I really wanted to be there. But we went into the place where we have the concerts, the Coger Center, and they'd run out of bulletins. Well, I call them bulletins. I guess they're programs. They're programs. They'd run out of them, so they said, hey, just scan your phone, this QR code, and the program will appear on your phone. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But I was so tempted to check scores while I was watching this orchestra concert. And, you know, I did. But I did it between pieces. I didn't do it while the piece was going on. And I had, like, my family saying, come on, check the score. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. But then you have these ESPN notifications, da-da-da-da-da-da, telling you the score. There's 5 minutes left, and this is the score. And then I have this Gamecock pastor's text group that is telling me what the scores are. I'm like, stop. I don't want to know until after it's over. The idea is that you can get very distracted when you have your devices from what you're here to do. So just, you know, a basic encouragement if you use your iPad or your phone, make sure you turn off all your notifications before you enter the worship service, because you can get distracted really quickly. Don't scroll Facebook or Instagram or Twitter when the pastor starts droning on and on. You know, make sure you're focused on what you're here to do. Now, that's just one little thing. Another thing for children, keep your Bibles open, everybody. If you learn by taking notes, take them either on the sheets provided or in a journal or notebook you bring with you each week. Young children, you can join along with that also. You can write in your on your piece of paper, maybe draw pictures of what you're hearing in the Bible stories. You can write down the words that you know, and then you can begin to do the outlines with the big points, and maybe your mom and dad can help you fill them in. That's a wonderful thing to do. I pray that all of us, whatever our ages, would be eager receivers of God's holy word. That we'd come into the worship service with a proper attitude and with eager anticipation, because Jesus Christ, our Lord, speaks to us through his word. He speaks wonderful words of life to us. Why wouldn't we want to soak in every single one of them? Well, the best way to do that is to prepare beforehand, to pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to us. It's so easy to be hard-hearted and cynical. We hear so many lies during the week. We hear so much fake news. We hear fake news about who we are, about what's important in the world, about who rules the world. We get confused about the gospel. We start believing false narratives about ourselves. We either get puffed up with pride about how great we are, or we get stuck in a cycle of self-loathing. We need to hear every single week that we're sinners, but that we're saved by God's amazing grace in Christ Jesus, and that his Holy Spirit is restoring us and fashioning us once again into his glorious image, so that we'll be much better than we could ever imagine, perfect, without stain or wrinkle or any such thing. And we need to hear that the Father loves us, that he's in control of all things, and that he loves us so much that we're adopted. We have a place in his house. We're part of his family forever, and we can never be evicted from that house. Isn't that good news? But we also need to hear his fatherly wisdom and correction, and even his firm but loving disciplining hand to put us back on the paths of righteousness. And we need to hear about the Holy Spirit's power to help us walk in the name of Jesus, in our marriages, in our parenting, in our work life, in our schools. These are just some of the things that we encounter every single time God's word is opened up to us. So let's receive his word with eagerness, with an open, willing heart, preparing beforehand through prayer, bringing our Bibles, opening them, taking notes, or paying really good attention. And let's eagerly hear each week what Jesus has to say to us. But it's not just eager receivers. These Bereans are also eager examiners. Now, I love old churches. My dad used to take me to deliver pianos and organs, and we go to all kinds of churches all over that part of South Carolina. And I always love looking at the beautiful old sanctuaries and even rambling around in the Sunday school rooms. You can learn a lot from looking at Sunday school rooms, can't you? I know that we used to have one downstairs with all kinds of pictures of every child that Joey and Tina put up there, of every child who's ever been part of this church. And I used to go down there and just almost cry, you know, just to see all that. And some of y'all are here today, and it's good to see some of you back. And it's just a beautiful thing to see God's covenant faithfulness to the church family here. You can learn a lot studying the roles and all kinds of things. And as I've been around over the years, I used to see that lots of churches had a Berean Sunday school class, or their church sponsored a Berean Bible study to honor the folks we read about today and to try to imitate their example, not only being eager, willing receivers of God's word, but also examiners. At the end of verse 11, we read this: examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. It's wonderful that the Bereans were so willing to hear Paul, especially in contrast to the Thessalonians. But as I read this week, they're not gullible. They're not naive. They examine the Old Testament scriptures to make sure what Paul's saying is true. Now, this brings up some important ideas for us today. One is the authority of scripture. As it's written in the Shorter Catechism, the Word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him. It also tells us that the Bible is our only authority for what we believe and also how we live, our only rule for faith and practice. And Bruce Milne writes that these Berean Jews were Protestants about 1,500 years early because they subscribed to sola scriptura. Scripture alone is their only authority. Another thing to note about them: they don't wait for the weekend to roll around for the next Sabbath day to figure out whether Paul's saying the right things. What do? They daily examine. They daily dig into the scriptures to make sure what Paul's saying is in accord with the Bible. And I urge and invite you, as members of Friendship, to do the same. I don't care who the preacher is, whether it's me or a guest, someone you hear on the radio or a podcast, if you read on a Christian website, or buy from Amazon or Walmart or Hobby Lobby, or a slogan on a bumper sticker or on a t-shirt or on a billboard. Make sure that what you're hearing and reading and ingesting is truly the teaching of God's holy word. If it's not, spit it out. It is poison. You don't want it. Please know I study and pray through everything that you hear on Sundays. But if you ever hear anything from me that's unclear or not quite right, please ask me. I in no way want to speak on my own authority, but on Christ's authority alone as a minister in his church. With the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, know that there are many, many false teachers out there. And there are many well-meaning but undertrained and confused teachers out there. They can be very charismatic and convincing. They could have huge followings on social media. So here's the challenge. Be a Berean. Especially in the day of the internet, and when Christian publishing has just kind of gone wild, make sure that you are truly examining what you hear, testing it against what God's word says. Go to the Bible daily, as we sang just a few moments ago. Meditate on it day and night so that it becomes more and more a part of you and the way that you think. Renew your minds daily through the scriptures. And instead of spending so much of our time, and I'm speaking to myself here, looking at worthless things, vain things, cruising the internet, flipping through channels, look to the life-changing ways, the life-changing Word of God. Yes, so that you'll bear abundant fruit, because the Word of God is living and it's active and it changes us. It brings us to the very presence of the living God. His Son speaks to us, and His Spirit uses the Word to convict and to comfort and to grow us into His image. Be eager examiners of the Word. Read your Bible every day. And if you haven't already, start putting some tools in your toolbox. What kind of tools should a Bible examiner have? One thing's very basic, a concordance. Something that if you need to look up a word or a phrase, you can look it up and find where it might be in the Bible. You can find those free online. The Blue Letter Bible is a good one. Commentaries, have one of these in your house. Matthew Henry is a great one. It's hard to beat. You can have John Calvin's. That's free online also. A Bible Atlas, someplace where you can look up different Bible places. Or you can get a really good study Bible that combines all of these in one place. If you need help with that, I'm more than happy to help you. As a matter of fact, I think I'm just going to send some recommendations via email. And if you're not on the email list and want to be, just let me or Amy know and we'll make sure you're on it. Another thing you can do is listen to the Bible in your car. If you don't, you say, well, I don't have time or whatever. You do have probably time in your car where you're listening by yourself doing other things. I had to do that this week because I had to get up real early one morning and drive back here. And it was fascinating listening to several chapters of Isaiah to see the way that God was judging Israel's greatest enemies, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Edom, and the rest, but then prophesying their salvation through the key of David, the Messiah, to whom all nations will bow down. I wouldn't have gotten that whole sweep if I hadn't listened to about 8 chapters. I'm going to tell you, the Bible is thrilling. The Bible is not boring. It is marvelous. It is alive. If you think it's boring or out of date or out of touch, I'll quote my pithy 21-year-old who tells me, that's a you problem, not a Bible problem. I think she'd be right. And if we're eagerly examining the scriptures, we're going to see Christ everywhere, just as these Bereans were doing. And here's the best news. They went from eagerly receiving to eagerly examining, finally to eagerly believing. At least many of them did. Many of them, we read in verse 12, therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing, as well as men. Now, surely this is good news. As we celebrate the beginning of this Berean church, many Jews believed, and not just a few Greek women of high standing. That would help spread the good news in influential circles. It might even keep the heat off the Christians for a while. Once again, though, we read that Paul is going to face some troubles. In verses 13 through 15, he's going to have to leave because of opposition. But isn't it a little puzzling that not all the Bereans in the synagogue are included in this report? It says many of them. Didn't they all receive the word eagerly? Didn't they all examine the word eagerly? Why did only many and not all eagerly believe the word? Well, we know the answer is in God's mysterious sovereign will, so that his purpose and election might stand. Just as we see in the parable of the soils, when the seed falls on rocky ground, they receive the word immediately with joy, but only endure for a while until persecution hits. There are those with thorny hearts, and when the seed of God's word falls on them, they hear the word, but soon the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and it proves unfruitful. Now, only those who eagerly believe the word, whose hearts are prepared beforehand by the Holy Spirit, who receive it by faith alone, will be saved, and those who persevere in the faith. Those who persevere to the end will be saved. That's important for at least 2 reasons. Now, for one thing, I just encourage you, before entering worship or before witnessing to a friend, pray that the Holy Spirit will go before you. Pray that he will prepare the hearts of those who hear the gospel, that he will plow up the hard ground, that he would remove the rocks, that he would cut through the thorns, so that the word might take root and bear fruit 160 or 30-fold. It's also important for another reason. It's very easy for us to assume that we're Christians, but to be stuck in the examining phase or the eager receiving phase, but never actually believe, trust, have faith in Christ. Because to everyone else, we look the part. We're here. We've got our Bibles open. We are examining the scriptures, but it could be that we're always learning, but never arriving at the truth. You see, it's not just Bible facts or Bible history or even the finer points of theology. Without faith, as we were studying this morning, J.I. Packer told us, these things can actually puff us up. What we all need is the very simple but critical knowledge that I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. and his name is Jesus. If that describes you today, then don't stop at being an eager receiver or even an eager examiner. Be an eager believer, joyfully and willingly giving your life to Jesus, the Jesus we find on every page of Holy Scripture, the Jesus who calls you today to walk out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Will you turn away, repenting of your sin? Will you trust in him alone for your salvation? Will you eagerly believe that he is Savior and Lord? And for those who do believe, know that the more we receive the word by faith, the more we examine the word eagerly, not in a skeptical manner, but as faith-seeking understanding, the more we'll grow in our assurance, in our trust in Jesus, in our faith, because Jesus, our Savior, still speaks to us today. You see, he's the Good Shepherd. He knows each one of us by name. When he speaks to us today from his word, we hear his voice and we eagerly follow him. So friends, may we eagerly receive the word. May we eagerly examine the word. May we eagerly believe the word, so that the word of God dwells in us richly, and so that we more and more hear our master's voice and follow him, crying out with the psalmist, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end." Let us pray. Our most loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we come today asking that you would teach us the way of your statutes so that we might keep them to the end. Would you give us understanding so that we may keep your law and observe it with all of our hearts? Father, in your grace, would you incline our ears and our hearts and our eyes to your testimonies and not to selfish gain? Turn our eyes from looking at worthless things and give us life in your ways. Give us grace to be eager receivers of your word. May we hear your word with gladness, looking forward to it with joy. May it be to us more precious than the finest gold and sweeter than honey, even from the honeycomb. May we search for it as our greatest treasure, examining the scriptures daily because they point and give testimony to the wonderful person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his coming again. May our study of the Bible confirm our faith as eager believers of your word, as we trust more and more in your covenant promises and of the power of your Holy Spirit to help us walk in newness of life. Thank you that your word is living and active, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray that through the testimony of the Holy Spirit, your word might produce faith, hope, and love within us, and that I might prune away what is dead and unnecessary and unfruitful in us, so that we might bear even more fruit. May we long for your precepts, O Lord, and your righteousness give us life. Father, we pray today for the health of your church, for the peace, purity, and unity of our officers, for the strength of our marriages and families. Would you bless our covenant children and bring those to faith who have yet to come? We pray for your gathering grace to draw those back who are straying. Would you be faithful to your covenant promise, O Lord, to be a God to us and to our children after us? O Lord, we pray for our nation. As we seem quite vulnerable, would you protect us? Would you lead us as we move into another election cycle? Would you provide leaders at all levels of government, even leaders that we don't deserve, who will serve us in the cause of freedom? Would you especially uphold the freedom to worship and to exercise our faith in public, and those who will promote the sanctity of human life at all phases and in all areas? All of these things we pray in Jesus' strong and powerful name. Amen.